Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is our Old Testament reading from Ruth chapter 1. And this is a story that is filled with great grief and hardship, really, from the very beginning. Naomi and her husband and her sons are sojourning, first of all, in the land of Moab because of a famine. Hardship has struck them from the very beginning. And the hardship continues to grow as Naomi's husband dies. And then her two sons, who had married Moabite women, also die. So here are these three women all alone. Naomi, her daughters-in-law, Ruth, and Orpah, and they're just by themselves. No one to provide for them, sojourning in a foreign land, not really knowing what to do next or who is possibly going to provide for them next. But in this story, even though we see great trial and hardship, we also see great faith. We see great faith in the example of Ruth, who will not leave her mother-in-law Naomi, will not abandon her to be all on her own, and also in doing this will not abandon the Lord God. Ruth said to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." So in Ruth, we have a wonderful picture of faith. Loyalty to her mother-in-law, Naomi, not wanting to abandon her, and we also have a beautiful picture of faith toward God. Clinging to God and trusting in Him, even in the face of dire circumstances. And when we see the whole picture of Ruth, when we see the whole story from beginning to end, we also see God's faithfulness to her. God's faithfulness in that He never abandoned them. He never left them nor forsook them. And that's the main message that our text has for us today. Like Ruth, cling to the Lord at all times, for His steadfast love never fails. Even in the midst of hardship and trial, cling to the Lord in all circumstances, because He has proven over and over and over again, through every story in the Old Testament, through the story of Ruth, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is faithful to His people at all times and will always deliver them from all of their hardships and all of their troubles. Cling to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever. Zooming in a little bit onto the beginning of the story here, I want us to think for a moment about how incredibly vulnerable these three women were when their husbands had died and they were all on their own. And not only that, but Naomi is sojourning in a land that's not even her home. Because you have to understand, in the ancient times, in the era of the judges that we're talking about here, there's no homeless shelter or no welfare state that they could rely on to provide for them. Everything is based off of the family. Everything is based on, do they have people that they're related to that can provide for them? They're completely reliant on the mercy of others. And that becomes incredibly difficult for Naomi when she's in a land that's not her own, and when all of them, their closest relations, their husbands, have died. What were they thinking in that circumstance? How are we going to provide for ourselves? What is going to happen in the future? What should we even do now? And from a practical standpoint, it seems like Ruth's best move would probably be to just go back home. Naomi was only related to her by marriage, so she's still living in her hometown too. She could just go back to her mother's household and start all over, marry somebody else, and then everything would be just fine. That's even what Naomi urges her to do. And that's even what her sister-in-law, Orpah, does. But Ruth refuses to do this. Why does Ruth refuse to go back to her mother's house? Why does Ruth refuse to leave Naomi? One of the reasons is because of her great love for her mother-in-law. She doesn't want to just abandon her to make her make this perilous journey all on her own and have to provide for herself all on her own. She wants to be with her, to care for her, and she does this out of love. And another reason why she doesn't want to abandon Naomi is because she has grown to love the Lord her God, the Lord God Almighty, because of her relationship with Naomi. It's said in our text that they were all living together in the land of Moab, that is, Naomi and her two sons and Ruth and Orpah. They were all living together in the land of Moab for 10 years. And that is plenty of time for Ruth to hear about all the things the Lord God Almighty has done for his people. It's plenty of time for her to hear about how God created the heavens and the earth, and about how he promised that he would give his people a home, and how he would always provide for them and never leave them nor forsake them, and how even when they were enslaved in Egypt, he brought them out with his mighty arm, even parting the Red Sea. And how even when they were wandering in the wilderness, he provided for them each and every day with manna and quail from heaven. She had heard of the mighty acts of the Lord God Almighty, and she had grown to love him, to have genuine faith in the Lord God. And she knew that to leave Naomi and to leave the people of Israel would likely mean that she may forget her Lord God as well. This is exactly what Naomi is saying when Orpah does go home to her own home. See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. She's gone back to her people and her gods. And that's not an option for Ruth, because she has come to faith in the one true God, and she cannot return back to the old gods. She must cling to the Lord God in faith. And thanks be to God that she did. Thanks be to God that she clung to faith in the Lord God, for he is truly the one who cares about her and cares about you, and he is truly the one who would deliver her. God particularly cares about you in your trials especially. God particularly cares about all who are vulnerable and all who have had so much in this life taken away from them. So we might look at widows or orphans and say, well, those are people that it doesn't really seem like God cares that much about them because he's taken so much from them. Maybe from an earthly perspective, that's what the conclusion we would come to. But when we read the scriptures, we hear that God particularly cares for these people. God particularly loves these people that are most vulnerable and have had the most taken from them. God says in Deuteronomy 24, he commands his people, don't collect everything from the harvest, but leave a little bit on the edges and on the corners so that the people that are most vulnerable, that can't provide for themselves, can take enough food so that they can survive. And the people that God is particularly thinking of are the sojourners, the fatherless, and the widow. God cares for those who are most vulnerable. God says also in Exodus 22, you shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry. And then God describes himself in Psalm 68:5, Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. God gives particular care to those who are vulnerable. God gives particular care to those who have had so much taken away from them. And the same can be said for Naomi and Ruth. Same can be said for you in your trials. And God does care for Ruth through Boaz. If you know the rest of the story, you know that when Ruth and Naomi go back to the land of Judea, that God does provide for them. Boaz giving Ruth enough food to eat and to sustain them first and foremost, but then also eventually marries Ruth, brings her into his home and provides for her all of her days. And this is a beautiful picture of what God does for us. It's a very common picture in the Old Testament where God will describe his salvation for his church as marriage. God marries his church and saves her. And then also we have that image in the New Testament as well. Ephesians chapter 5 describes what Christ did for you as the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. And Christ loves his bride, the church, so much that he's willing to lay down his life for her. So this image of what Boaz does for Ruth, marrying her and redeeming her, saving her from this life of hardship, is a perfect picture of what Jesus does for us, laying down his life for his bride, the church. And in the same way, God cares for his church today. God cares for you in all of your troubles. God does particularly look upon you in your vulnerability, in your hardship, in your trial, in every aspect of your life, and he forgives you. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you, to shed his blood, to forgive all of your sins. He has promised to never abandon you nor forsake you. God provided for Ruth here in time, and he also provided for her in the greatest need that she had. She needed salvation. She needed the forgiveness of her sins, just like every one of us does. And God provided that for her as well. When she brought her into the nation that he had chosen to be his people, she received the word of promise. And not only this, but that word of promise that God spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob was in part fulfilled through Ruth. Ruth isn't just some random obscure lady, but what does she end up being? She ends up being the great-great-grandmother of King David. And then she becomes the ancestor of the one who is in the line of David, King Jesus Christ our Lord. Look in the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, and there is Ruth, one of the very few women listed in the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. She's right there. And isn't that wonderful? That this woman who had lost so much, this woman who really was just a foreigner from Moab, obscure, random lady, she's elevated by the grace of God to be the ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. God truly works in mysterious ways, ways that we can never comprehend. And his mercy never ends. And it is always truly amazing. And God, through Jesus, would bring salvation to Ruth, to Boaz, to David, and all mankind. And because Ruth was a foreigner, a Moabite woman, we see that since she was brought into the plan of salvation, and God actually in part worked his plan of salvation through her, we see that foreigners are part of God's plan of salvation from the very beginning. What I mean by that is all nations. God said to Abraham way back in Genesis 18, "In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And what he means is this. It is not just for the people of Israel according to the flesh only, but his salvation is for all people, Jews, Gentiles. That includes us. Thanks be to God for that. And just as Jesus says in the Gospel of John, when he is lifted up on the cross, he will draw all people to himself. All people. Ruth, you, me, all nations, all people who believe in Jesus receive the salvation of their souls in him. When we look at this wonderful story, we see the incredible faithfulness God has toward his people in the fulfilling of his promises. We see how God provided for Ruth and Naomi even in the midst of hardship when everything looked like it wasn't going so well. And sometimes when we read these stories, when we can see the whole picture and we don't have to live in it day after day for those 10 years or however long it was, we just get to read the summary in a few short chapters in the Bible, sometimes we tend to think, well, that's great. I'm glad that it all worked out for them, but God just made everything happen just fine in this life, and that's not always how it seems to go in my life. God seemed like he was obviously always going to give Ruth a husband and provide for her and Naomi, and maybe doesn't look like that in one's own life. But think for a moment what their lives must have been like in the day-to-day. We get to see the whole picture. What did it look like in the day-to-day? What did it look like in the face of those trials? Facing death itself, not knowing what to do or who was going to provide for them, probably had a lot of uncertainty. They did not know what was going to happen in the future. They did not know exactly how God was going to provide for them. But what they did know, what they did have faith and confidence in, is that God would always be with them no matter what. So even though we know the whole story, David does defeat Goliath. Jesus does rise from the dead. That's great. We shouldn't think that our lives are any different. Instead of telling ourselves, well, that's great, I know those old stories, but I don't know how my life is going to turn out, so I don't know if I should be faithful. Rather, look at the scripture testimonies of God's faithfulness and know that since he has been faithful in all these circumstances, he certainly will be faithful to me in my life. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Because God will never abandon you. And even though you might not know the exact details about how everything is going to go in your life, maybe you don't know what tomorrow or next week or 10 years is going to bring for you exactly, even though in that sense you don't know the whole story for your life, when you place your story in the whole story of salvation, you do know how it ends. You do know that all things are fulfilled and that all will be provided for you in Christ. Because Jesus died and rose again for your salvation. Jesus has won heaven for you. Jesus has won eternal life forever for you. So therefore, you can be confident that even when you face trials, even when you face hardship, even when you don't know what tomorrow or the next day or the next 10 years is going to bring, you know that God will always provide for you and will give you exactly what you need. Because he has already given you what you need in eternal salvation. And that is the greatest gift that we could possibly ever receive. And that's exactly what St. Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8. I know that death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And because we have this confidence that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what trials we face, nobody can take heaven away from you, you can confidently believe what God has promised you in Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. for those who are called according to his purposes. All things work together for good. God knows what you need. God knows that what you need is to be brought to faith, to be strengthened in the faith, and to receive eternal salvation for him. And God will guard and keep you in that faith until the day you die. So therefore, you can have the, sounds kind of crazy, but confidence that no matter what happens, God will be with you and that it is good. That it is exactly what God wants for you and knows what you need. And you know that he will be with you through it all. And this is because when you look at the story of Ruth, or you look at the story of King David, or you see all the ways that God provides for his people in Jesus Christ, like Jesus had compassion on those 10 leopards. Sorry, 10 lepers, not leopards. He had compassion on those 10 lepers and compassion on the crowds who were wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. You know that he has compassion and cares about you. So cling to the promises of God like Ruth in all circumstances. And what has Jesus promised you? He said that he will be with you in all things and at all times. He has promised you, "Behold, I am coming soon." And he says to you that you are loved and that he forgives you all of your sins. Cling to those promises, because he who has spoken them is faithful and always will be. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the singing of the offertory. Please rise.